Okay, we're on. Last week we were looking at the crucifixion and the resurrection. And this week, just reminded when we read Galatians 2 verse 20 about the part where he says the life he now lives. So let's take off where I basically ended off with Galatians 2 verse 20 last week. And I want to pick up there again. Let's read it together. Let's maybe go step back. Today my sermon is don't skip leg day. Okay, so I don't know who here has done much gymming and that kind of thing. Yeah, there we go. So I had a friend at university who every now and then would skip leg day, but he was a big bodybuilder. And then later you could see he didn't have carbs. So when you hear the words this morning, just keep this in your mind. I'm trying to encourage us to become the complete man, to not skip leg day because then you look odd, right? So I was looking at Galatians 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to run through some other scriptures that touch on this idea some more. You can jump to 2 Corinthians 5. Paul writes, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. To live for him who died for them and was raised again. It touches on the same idea from Galatians 2 verse 20. We jump to what Jude writes. He says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Here he is talking, he's saying, building yourself up. So there's an activity taking place. Praying in the Spirit, keeping yourself in God's love. But what does this building up refer to? And that's really what I'm going to be unpacking a little bit for us this morning. What is this life we now live by faith in the Son of God? The next scripture, Colossians, Paul writes, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, speaking of your salvation, that's what we do. When we become born again, we receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Right? It says, continue to live your lives in him. And here's this werkwoord again. Rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. He says, continue to live in him. Rooted in him. Built up in him. Strengthened as you were taught. What are we taught? We taught in the scriptures, right? So there's this active participation taking place. This life we now live by faith in the Son of God has this active participation. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Okay, so this morning I'm not doing rebuking and correcting. You can breathe out, okay? So we're not here for rebuking and correcting this morning. We're here for training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Being trained in righteousness. In other words, that's not competing in righteousness. We are trained in righteousness. Like you go to the gym, like you go for your run, when you have a goal in mind, you are training in this activity. So it's a powerful image Paul uses to describe this active participation, this life in Christ that we are busy now living. It's not a passive participation. But there's a portion of scripture that I really want to zoom in on this morning that for me really unpacks this and unpacks our approach that we should have. What is the starting point we should have? What is the attitude we should have, and why should we have it? It's a scripture by Peter. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 about this. He first sketches our position. Then he says, okay, now from that place, do these things. And then he says, why? Why must we do these things so that this will be the consequence? Okay, so keep that in mind when we run through these verses. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4, this is where he sketches, this is our place that we start from. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You do not start at the following verses, where we will get to now. You start here. By His divine power, He has given us everything we need. Now, He does not give us everything we need in a mature form. John writes, to children, to young men, and to fathers. So we understand that although we receive everything we need, there is growth required. Right? What is this divine power that has given us everything we need? The divine power was displayed in the resurrection. The divine power that resurrected Christ from the dead. It is because of that display of resurrection power that we become children of God. By our belief that, well, Jesus said things, and He said that He would be murdered, and He said that He would be raised from the grave, and this happened. So we can believe what He said. And we are... So this reference to His divine power is a reference to that resurrection that sealed the promise that our faith is anchored in. It is the resurrection that gives us certainty of our justification by faith in what He did. We receive this through our knowledge of Him, through us knowing Him, knowing Jesus. And how did think about Peter writing this as one of the disciples that walked with Jesus. Peter's writing this, he says, he has a knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So Peter, being one of the 12 that had walked with Jesus, he knew they had seen Jesus. What is His glory? It's His inherent worth. They had seen Jesus, His inherent worth. They had seen this God-man walking on earth. And then they had seen what He does. The goodness displayed. Goodness is not just a characteristic. It is a display of His moral excellence, of Jesus coming as the Son of God and the Son of Man and doing good. Displayed. He has glory, He has inherent worth, and He has a display of His goodness towards those around Him. That is the one they know, the one who called us. Then he refers to these promises. Now, I'm not going to, that's a sermon for a whole other day. What are these promises of God that Peter refers to? For this morning, I want you to understand that Peter doesn't list them here either. You can go and dig them up in the scriptures. Peter says, knowing that there are these promises, it is through them that we participate in the divine nature. So Peter's not saying we become God. He's saying,
as we understand that Jesus has been resurrected, that our faith in what he has done makes us born again, we know that God has made promises about what is still to come. We can hold on to those promises, and for that reason we can participate, we can partner with what God is doing, and in that way we escape from the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. We can believe his promises because he has been resurrected as was prophesied. So this is the place that Peter says, we start here, having received everything we need through our knowledge of him. And then he moves on. For this very reason, he's referring to what is just written, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. It is for this very reason, that place of knowing what we have received, that we make every effort to increase in these areas. So this is my understanding of what it is we are rooted in, what it is we are being, what we are building up, what it is we are training in righteousness. It's this scripture. He's saying, from that place, make sure to make every effort to add to your faith. It's not that he is saying you need to go find this. This is part of when you were born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Part of being born again, you receive this. But the question here is, what do you do with it? In your own effort, you cannot make this happen. You need to first be born again, receive this from the Spirit. But the question is then, what do you do with it? I'm going to move on and then I'm going to come back to this. Because Peter writes, very importantly, he writes, then, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Let's pause there for a moment. So what he's saying is, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in other words, you already have this, take hold of it. Clutch onto it. Possess it as your own. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who doesn't want to be effective and productive as a Christian? Clearly no one here. I want to be effective and productive in my knowledge of Jesus. And Peter says, let me shine a light on that. If you take hold of these things which you have received when you were born again, and you increase in them, making every effort to increase in these, you will be effective and productive. Then you will not be skipping leg day. In taking hold of these, it is that we are productive and effective. It is in that pursuit that we become fruitful. It is in this active participation in what we have received from the Spirit that we become fruitful. But there's a warning. He says, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So there's a warning here. He says, if you don't do this, you're going to be like someone who forgets you've been cleansed. Now, if I can for a moment cast your thought back to before you were born again, you felt condemned by your sin. The first thing that happens is you have no confidence. If you don't have confidence, you don't go to the Father. If you don't go to the Father, you do not
feel that you will receive what you ask for. So he's saying, if you do not do these things, if you do not possess an increase in these, you will find yourself in a place where you feel unsaved again. If you do not feel confident, you do not ask the Father, and you will not have fruit. Because what we do is we are pursuing the life that Jesus lived. In this world, we are to be like Christ. We are. And if we pursue Him, we become transformed like Him. We will increase in these, and we will have confidence. Because John writes in 1 John, he says, if you are confident, he says, if you are confident, let me go there. If our hearts do not condemn us, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. That's the place we want to be. This is what Peter is talking about. What are these muscles then? What are these muscles? Obviously, Peter starts, it says, make every effort to add to your faith. Right, so he's already just given us what we have received by faith. You cannot start with goodness and knowledge. You first have to have faith. You first have to be born again. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So don't put the cart before the horse. But if you have faith in what Jesus has done, he says, add to your faith goodness. This goodness is the display of moral excellence to those around you. As Peter earlier wrote, he said, we were called by His glory and His goodness, His moral excellence. We are to display this goodness ourselves. Add to you. It's not trappe van vergelijking, by the way. You don't first get goodness and then knowledge and so forth. these are all things you possess and you exercise. Knowledge, it's not book knowledge he's referring to yet. He's talking about experiential knowledge. He says, add to your goodness knowledge. He's saying, add to your goodness testimonies. Experiential knowledge. Jesus talked about this. He said, those who are hearers and doers will build their house on the rock for when the storms come. This is the same knowledge that Peter is writing about. He's not talking about merely reading the scriptures and knowing the scriptures. He's talking about applying what you have read. And then in that process, you will get testimonies that is experiential knowledge. Add these to your goodness. Add to your knowledge self-control. Who knows that the self needs control? Okay, we've got some living people in the house. Self-control is the mastery of the selfish life. It is only possible through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It is only as the Spirit leads us and as we follow His leading that you can put to death the flesh. That is the picture of self-control Peter is talking about here. Not you yourself trying to control, but being led by the Spirit. Increase in that pursuit is what he's saying. Perseverance. Perseverance is to remain on the course you are set, notwithstanding the challenge you face. A very simple example, just from my daily, not my daily life, I wish, from my life when I do run. If you want to run faster downhill, you don't run more downhills. You run more uphills. You need to persevere in the uphills to run faster downhill. In life, as we have a course set before us, It is in the perseverance that we become stronger. The godliness he speaks of here is the lifestyle of devotion to God. Add to perseverance godliness. It is the inner response. It is your heart's response to God in the way you live. Your reverence in your lifestyle for God determines actions that you take. A godly man, if you were walking down, you say, that is a godly man. It is a man that you consider to have reverence for God and the things of God. He does not flippantly deal with the things of God. Peter encourages us, let's increase in godliness. Let's have a high regard for the things of God. Mutual affection or brotherly kindness, this is among one another. It is the love or the affection between brothers generally. It is not the fiery love that Sandra shared earlier. This is just mutual affection between us. If we want to increase and be productive and effective, we need to be mutually affection. I'm going to mess that up. We're going to need to display mutual affection to one another, to fellow believers generally. And then last of all, the capstone, he adds, is love. And this is that love that we read of in the scriptures. It's not the love that we see in the movies. It is the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. It is an active love. It is the love your neighbor as yourself love. It is the love that steps out and acts for the sake of the other. We need love is the greatest of these, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, which we have sort of passed off to marriage ceremonies. We need to take possession of that scripture again, where Paul writes and says, love is the greatest of these. And then he delves into what this love is. It is love in action and in truth. I want to take what we've talked about here, and I want to go to what Christ said about this same principle. And I want to start with John 15. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I find a lot of people quoting the scripture, apart from me, you can do nothing, as an excuse to do nothing. And I'm thinking, then you're actually telling me you're not abiding in him. Because if we are abiding in him, we should be doing not nothing. There should be much fruit. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It is in taking possession, in abiding in him and being intentional, making every effort to add, that we are effective and productive in our knowing of him, in our knowledge of him. That will bear much fruit for the Father. I want to go to another teaching of Jesus, the parable which he tells in Luke 19 about the 10 miners. I think different translations translate it differently. But in this translation, or in this story, in this parable, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who goes to be made king of another country, and when he leaves, he gives 10 servants, one mina each. In other words, they've received everything they need. And he tells them, put this money to work until I come back. That's the reason he's given them the everything they need. And then we find the first, when he comes back, the first servant says, Master, your one mina has earned 10 others. And the king's response is, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little. Here are 10 cities. This servant understood what kind of king had given him a command to deal with his things. He understood that this king is a giver. He has given minas. But there's another servant. The servant who also received one mina. And his response when the king comes back is, here is your mina, I haven't lost it. Because in my mind, you're a king who reaps, you're a king who takes. So I didn't increase this thing, I just kept it safe. And the king doesn't say, yes, you're right, I'm a king who reaps where I didn't sow and I take. No, he says, out of your mouth you will be judged. You've misunderstood my heart as king. I'm a giver, I just gave 10 cities to a guy who increased one coin to 10 coins. And at the end of this parable, Jesus says these words. He says, he talks about the king, and he says, he replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. Obviously, you can't has unless he gave you a mina. But we've all received the same salvation, the same Holy Spirit. But for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Jesus used this parable to illustrate this will be the way the kingdom of heaven works until I come back. And this is what I want from you. You all receive the same salvation, the same Holy Spirit. What I'm asking to do is to increase it in your life. Peter writes, for this reason, make every effort to add these things. And the reason he says that is so that we will be effective and productive in our knowledge of Christ. It is not merely for the sake of having goodness, knowledge, self-control. What's I've got the list. Self-control. Help me out, Jeff. Perseverance. Godliness. Mutual affection. Love. It's not for the sake of men possessing these. These are important to increase in so that we will be effective and productive in our knowledge of Him. Because in being effective and productive, we bear much fruit. And the Father is interested in fruit. Now this morning, you may be in one of three places. Everything I said may have just gone straight up your head. That's okay. What's born of the Spirit was born of the flesh is flesh. If that is you, bring your heart and open it to the Father. Let Him reveal to you what kind of King He is. We are born again so that we can be children of God, many sons and daughters, where there is already a firstborn. He will be the firstborn among many brethren. Without being born again, none of these things are yours to possess. But when we are born again, by putting our faith in what He did, in the finished work of the cross, we have everything we need. You may also find yourself, you are born again, but you've skipped leg day. Let us not be intentionally skipping leg day anymore. You may be frustrated, you may feel, I am not effective or productive in my knowledge of Christ. The world around me has no impact from my faith. Let's be sincere as we engage with the Father's heart this morning. Let's be sincere and ask the Holy Spirit, show me where I am skipping leg day. It is not His heart to catch you out, to say, look at you, big muscles, no carbs. He's speaking to us this morning to say, let us become mature, the complete man, so that we can be fully equipped for the good works He has prepared, like Paul writes to Timothy. And then you may find yourself that what you actually desire is a gym buddy. It's the reason Jesus sent them out two by two. This is not a solo walk. Some of these dumbbells you can't move on your own. It is part of this journey that we are on to have a partner, to have a confidant, to have somebody that you say, you know what, I want to increase in benching. Will you help me? Will you hold the bar while I get onto the thing that they lie on? I'm not a gymmer. The bunkie. In this week, you then need to find that person. You can find them here. You can see there's a bunch of gymmers here already. Okay. Don't leave and try and go and do that on your own. I want to open an invitation this morning. What's born of the Spirit is spirit, what's born of the flesh is flesh. You cannot work these things in the flesh. It will kill you. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. If that is you, hear the voice of the good King this morning. He is the giver. He keeps 10 cities for someone who makes 10 coins out of one coin. It's a ridiculous reward. Do not consider Him the king who reaps and takes. That is a lie. Let's stand. Father, as we bring our hearts to be, see your cloud that is fire by night and the cloud for shame by day has descended on this place, as we experience your presence here, we open our hearts, unpacking the tabernacle of our hearts. And we come this morning and we invite you in again. This is where you desire to dwell by your Spirit. It is in you that we live and have our being. Father, I ask that this morning we would consider again the life we now live in your Son Jesus Christ. We would consider the active participation that you desire us to have with you. That we are born again of the Spirit. That we are born into your kingdom, into your household. And that as we are increasing in these things, as you encourage us, we will be transformed more and more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning, you're not sure whether you have possession of these things, I want to invite you, come to the front. We will pray with you. We will pray with you that what is born of the Spirit will be in you. If you feel that the Holy Spirit has touched something where you have skipped leg day, let us be sincere this morning and come forward and pray with somebody and just confess that. A simple confession. The power of sin is in its secrecy. And what we want to do here this morning is just to break secrecy. So you know what, I fall short in this area. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are good and you are kind and you are merciful, and that you desire us to be affected and productive, because you are affected. You are for us, not against us. I pray, Father, this morning that as we consider this word, we will consume the scriptures, that your words would remain, that my words would fade, and that your will be done in our lives, in our families, in our businesses, in our community. To just remain in an attitude of worship for 2 minutes. And just to consider what you've heard.